time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
The year would have been about 1989, 1990. I was working at a hospital as a hospital chaplain, and since I was a low guy on the totem pole, I was on the evening shift for Thanksgiving night and was feeling pretty sorry for myself. There I was walking around wanting to be with my family in another state, and instead I was working. I was busy trying to take care of those who were in the middle of the hospital, and I got to tell you, I had a bad case of the poor pitiful me's. And that's the beginning of what ended up being an eye-opening experience for me. This is Lee Bockham, and you're with us on the Thriveology Podcast, where we look at ways to thrive in this world no matter what's happening in your life. I am a thriveologist, which means I study thriving all the time, full-time thriveologist, but part-time thriver, and I've got proof of that today. So there I was. It was late at night. The hospital had calmed down, low on staff because it was the holiday, so they were minimally staffed. And I was making my rounds on the floor that I was very familiar with. And on this floor, there were the people who were there chronically. They were in and out constantly, and we kind of knew the end game for most of the people coming through. And so the nurses told me that there had been somebody who had nobody to visit that day and asked if I would drop by. And so I did. And I knew Martin. Martin had been there many times. Martin was a long-term diabetic. And so Martin had no legs at this point and had lost most of one arm. And yet Martin was one upbeat kind of guy. Oh, and there's one other piece that I didn't tell you about. And that was the fact that Martin had emphysema. He had suffered from it for years, and by his own admission, he had earned that from years of cigarette smoking in his youth. And so I entered the room, and I heard the wheezing, and immediately I began to be aware of my own breathing as he wheezed in and out and gasping for air. And there he was on his bed, what was left of him, even by his own admission. And I sat down with Martin. I said, "Martin, how's it going?" And he said, "Chaplain, I'm just thankful to be here." And I said, "Wow. Good for you. Well, tell me about that." And Martin began to tell me all the many things that he was thankful for that day. And the biggest one was that he was up and he was alive and he was breathing. And that, as he told me, God got me up this morning. And then he began to tell me about lots of losses in his life. And I began to find myself going, "Wow, Martin, I'm so sorry to have heard about that loss." And it was a loss after loss. He lost two kids, and his wife had died, and both of his parents had died tragically, and there were no other siblings left. All of them had died from complications from diabetes that ran in his family. And there he was by himself, Thanksgiving night, telling me all of the relationships for which he was thankful. And every time I said, "I'm so sorry for that loss," he would say, "You know what? I learned so much from that. I realized how I needed to rely on God," or some other lesson that he had pulled from that. And I sat there in amazement, realizing that here I was, running around the hospital, fully capable as a young man, able to carry myself around the city, able to have a job, to be in the warmth, to have enjoyed at least a meal with my wife. And here he was, telling me what he was thankful for, when all I could think all day was, "I've got to go to work. I can't believe I have to go to work." You see, what I realized was that I have a certain set point that I've worked on for a long time to move beyond, and that's my gratitude piece. I realized that what I often looked at in life was what I lacked, not what I had, and I've worked hard in my adult life to change that. Sometimes I find myself still slipping into what lacks rather than what I have and what I'm blessed with. And so a number of years back, my family has a tradition of choosing one word that we live into the new year. It's a New Year's thing we do. And I always start thinking about it about this time of year. As I start kind of rounding out the year, I start thinking about what that word would be. Well, the year that this happened, I remember going, "Wow, you know what? I need to be thankful. That's what I need to do." So my word was thanks. Thankful is kind of a feeling you have, but thanks is action. You know, to say thanks is to take action, to be embracing the fact that something's been given to you. And so I chose thanks as an action word that year, and all year I lived into that. I found myself repeatedly saying, "Thanks, Thanks. Thank you. Thank you to people, to the universe, to God, the world, to the possibilities, the people around me. I was just going to spend the year being thankful. And so here we are at this time of year when we should be reflecting on that. I mean, this is the one day, Thursday, at least in the United States, is the one day that we set aside to say thanks, to be full of thanks, to give thanks. And yet, what I often see is the rush of the season where it's not about giving thanks. It's about rushing to make the meal or to eat the meal or to be at the meal or to make the ball game or to make the sales that are ever increasingly coming earlier and earlier on Thanksgiving. And where Black Friday is no longer Friday, it starts well into Thursday now. And as we're all around all of that, I realize that instead of it being a point of thanksgiving, we're almost at a point of gluttony, of looking at why we don't have even more than we have, of complaining about what we didn't have for Thanksgiving or what didn't happen or who didn't make it or what gifts haven't been bought or all the many other pieces of comparison. And what I know is that all of us have that within us, that place where we can get stuck in the what I don't have. And we're in a world that's based in that. I mean, isn't that all of our marketplace that tries to tell you that you need this and this and this and this to be whole? That it's not enough to be thankful for what you have, but to always want more. And isn't that also human nature to always be looking at what's lacking rather than what is as a way of striving forward, of moving us towards something greater, of trapping us? So why is gratitude so hard for us? And what did Martin have that I didn't have and still found myself challenged to find? I think part of that is perspective. Martin had spent a lot of time counting up the losses in his life, and he told me that there was a time when every time something medically happened, all he could ask is why? Why did this happen to me? And then one day he realized that the whys didn't matter, that the whys got him nowhere except for to be cynical and angry and upset and resentful for all the many things that other people had that he did not. So one day, Martin took a step back, and he said he could be whole no matter what happened to his body. He could be whole no matter what losses he endured. He could be whole no matter what happened in his life, because it wasn't about what he didn't have, but about what he did have. And Martin changed his perspective. He told me he used to be a very cynical man, very sarcastic, very angry, very bitter. And then one day he softened. And what softened him was the gratitude. He said he began to look for ways to be thankful for what he did and to be thankful for what he was learning and to be thankful for the lessons that life handed him, whether he wanted them or not. Well, Martin changed me a lot. I learned a lot sitting at his bed with him through the last couple of years of his life as he kept making the rounds into the hospital, often gasping for air, often with complications, but still with a resolute spirit that he was blessed, that he was fortunate to have had the life he had. And one of the things that I took from that was that I could nurture that in myself, to find ways that not just one day a year, but every day I could work on that gratitude. And so I do that. And so let me tell you just a couple of ways I do that. The first thing is that I really did take that year seriously. And so in my calendar, every day that year, it said thanks. And every year since, in my calendar, every day, there's a reminder of some sort that I put in, a reminder to be thankful, to count my blessings, to show gratitude. And so I mix up the messages, but they're all about taking a moment when I look at the calendar and look at the busyness of life, to even be grateful for the busyness, to be grateful for the opportunities that are embedded there, the people I meet, the things I learn, the places I get to visit, that's gratitude. One of my core pieces is to start every day writing down the three things for which I'm grateful. Now, I have an extended exercise, but if you want to really start kind of changing the way your brain works, this is a simple way of doing it. And this is one of those little pop psychology things that turns out to have a lot of scientific evidence behind it. That when we train our brain to look for things for which to be grateful, we become more and more grateful. And so every morning I get up, usually before anybody else is up, still in the dark, especially these days, and I write down the three things for which I am thankful that day. And I make sure that they're varied. It's not the same thing every day. I could always say I'm thankful for my wife, I'm thankful for my house, I'm thankful for my kids, and that would be light. It would be true, but it would be light. It would be easy. It wouldn't make me think. But when I start thinking about what other things I'm thankful for a book I read, or thankful for a song I heard, or thankful for an email somebody sent me, or thankful for a message I saw, a picture I saw on the internet with a thoughtful saying on it, or thankful for some small piece in life, when I write that down, and I only do three a day, and then I look at that at night just to remind myself of what I was grateful for, what I'm learning is that it trains my brain to look for the things around me, to look for the things to be thankful for, because then it's a lot easier the next day to write them down. And even though that's a trick to getting used to that, there's another piece to it. It's training my brain to look for that. Rather than to look for what I lack, I look for what I have. I look for what's around me and surrounding me. And so one of the things that I've noticed is that, sure enough, that year helped change my thinking. That year helped turn it around, because every day I was thinking about that. And every day I think about the things that I'm thankful for, and it changes my perspective. Now, we've had a lot of tough times in my family. We've had illnesses. I've had my own illness. My wife has had hers. We've had times when it's been rough. We've had times when we really struggled. And my wife reminded me the other day of the time that we had to have a yard sale just to afford to put shoes on my daughter when she was a baby. And we were both in graduate school. And the days that we weren't sure how we were going to eat, so we had pancakes and waffles again. To this day, I can't eat waffles on our waffle grill because we had to use that so many times in the early days. And I look back and I go, wow, I'm thankful that I had the opportunity, though, to get through that, to recognize that there's some lessons in that. And so one of the other things I practice is the gratitude for the difficulties, that sometimes I don't know what lesson I'm going to learn from it, but I know I'm going to learn something. Now, I don't hold the belief that life delivers things your way so you'll learn a lesson. I do believe that there are lessons to be learned in everything life hands you. And so when something's happening, I work to be grateful for the opportunity that's coming my way, something that's going to come from that, that I'll learn from it. And I recognize that it's my job to be looking for that, to be able to create a place, a vision for that. Now, I will tell you that some people have told me before that if you're too grateful, you might lose your drive. You might not try to accomplish much. And what I've discovered is quite the opposite. When we're grateful, it's a lot easier to go towards stuff because it's not out of fear. It's out of opportunity, out of possibility, after a belief that there's something bigger. And so I practice my gratitude every day. And I'm partly grateful for the lessons that people like Martin taught me. I'm forever grateful for that. But part of my gratitude now, a permanent gratitude, is for all the many lessons I learned from the people that I watch go through struggles of their own, who held their head high and said, I'm grateful for the life I've had. I invite you this Thanksgiving to really focus on the things that bring you gratitude. It's easy to get wrapped up in what we don't have. And so this day, mark it as the beginning point for when you'll increase the moments of gratitude in your life, to take it on as a new opportunity for more moments of gratitude, more moments of growth, more moments of possibility. Because when that happens, you get to what I think really drives us to thrive. And that's, it gives us opportunities for impacting the world. When we are most grateful, we find the ways that we can give back to the world and create an impact to those around us. If you're in the United States, I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. If you're elsewhere, take a moment to be thankful and do a Thanksgiving of your own. I wish you the best as you celebrate this holiday season. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving life.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.